All right. Good morning, everybody. Oh, that wasn't very good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Much better. Hey, we want to welcome you to Waller Baptist Church. We're so excited that you're here this morning. I just want to do a few announcements before we get into worship. First, next Sunday, we're going to have a special called business meeting. Our blessing team has come up with four more recipients of the blessing that we were giving out into the community and into ministries and Waller and the surrounding area. If you look in your bulletin, those ministries that we want to bless and the amounts are written right there. So next Sunday we'll come in and we'll answer all questions and we'll vote as a church on how to proceed forward with those. Also at that meeting, our resource team is going to recommend some holes to fill on the vacancies on the personnel team. So that'll be in that meeting next week. Tonight we're having Overflow. Overflow is our prayer and worship and testimony time. We do it once a month on the first Sunday of the month. I didn't realize that this was going to be a holiday weekend with a Monday on it. So we understand if it's going to be a real small crowd tonight. But you know what? When it's a small crowd at one of those, it's just a beautiful time of singing and blessing each other and sharing testimonies. So you are welcome to come tonight at 6 o'clock for Overflow prayer and worship time. Other things you'll see, there's upcoming events that are happening where you can read right there on the side, and we're gonna just go ahead and check that out. That's why we printed, so that you can have it. We are so excited about your being here today. Hey, we're going to start off with worship, and in a little while we'll get up and we will hopefully bring a message that's encouraging, uplifting, and we can celebrate as a family the beautiful God we serve. Can we pray right now? Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for this morning. God, I just want to just pray right now, God, for all the people that are affected with COVID. God, as we're getting word this morning of some friends and some families that we know, God, I ask you just to, bring healing. God, bring peace. And Father, just give us the understanding that you're here and you're in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, while I'm on that, I almost forgot. We do want to say again that we understand that right now the virus is starting to spread pretty heavily. We want to just once again come to our church and say we're going to trust that everyone will do what they feel comfortable with. If you feel comfortable not having a mask on, that's okay. If you want to wear a mask, there is no shame, there is no guilt. Please, if that makes you feel comfortable, don't not wear the mask if you don't feel comfortable. We are having our Facebook Live continue. It is on every Sunday morning. So if there's a Sunday morning you get up and you go, man, I'm feeling anxious about going to church, or maybe you're just kind of coughing a little bit and say, hey, I'm a little bit worried about that, our Facebook Live is going every Sunday, and you can still be part of our worship service through that. I want to encourage everyone that while the virus is spreading this much, let's be just careful about handshakes and hugs. If you are comfortable with that and you know the person that you're handshaking or hugging is comfortable, I'll let that be a personal decision. But just overall, I'm going to go to fist bumps for a little while. not because I'm succumbing to any pressure or anything like that, but my wife is in the public school system. And it's running pretty rampant in there. And, I want to make sure I don't spread anything. In that thought, I do want to bring up one person this morning that's really heavy on my heart. Many of you know the Glick family, Cody and Janice and Malachi. Last week, or about 10 days ago, in some progression, all three of them got COVID positive. Cody is fighting it pretty good. Malachi is doing good. Janice is not doing good. Janice is in the hospital right now, and this morning they had to put her on the respirator. So for the Glick family, we're just going to take a minute and lift up Cody and Malachi, and especially Janice. God's in control. God can heal. But it's one of those things where I'm saying that right now there is just a lot of things going around that we want to pray for and to be wise about. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to lift up the Glick family to you right now. God, as other churches are praying for them, as the school system is praying for them, God, as a church, we just want to lift up Janice to you. God, I don't know if she's anxious, fearful. I don't know where she's at right now, but God, I just want you to reassure her that you're there. God, let her know that you've got her by the hand. Father, she's battling this COVID pneumonia. Father, heal her lungs. Father, give peace to Malachi and to Cody during this time. And Father, teach us to trust you. Teach us to know that you're fully in control. And that God, that we can, you know, without a doubt know that you're there. And Father, you have the best in mind for that family. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This morning we're going to sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? You know, with all the things about COVID and all of the talk, it is a scary thing. But this morning, there's one thing that we don't want to lose light of, and that being separated from God is even a scarier thing. And our God is a great physician, and he can heal. And this morning, our church, we don't need to huddle somewhere and get away from the world, but we do need to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ in our world.
Well, good morning again. I was gone last week. Don't know if y'all noticed or not. Yeah, go figure. That was me then. I just put on some hair. Now, I want to just thank y'all. I spent last week with one of the mission groups that we support monthly here at Waller Baptist Church, New Heart of Texas. When I've shared about New Heart of Texas in the past, I've shared about the weekends they do for people who have had abortions in their past and who are trying to work through that traumatic event. But they also have another ministry that they do. And that's what I was involved with last week. And it's a five-day retreat called Grief to Grace. Grief to Grace. And really what Grief to Grace is about is anybody that has some kind of past issue, some kind of trauma, some kind of hurt, some kind of hang-up in their lives that's just got them stuck in life. Stuck in moving forward in their life, moving forward with God. And last week I got to spend about 5 days with 10 people that had some hurts and some traumatic, very traumatic in fact, events in their childhood and in their teenage years, and now they're in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50, and they're still somehow or another held back by those traumatic events. I tried to get a picture of it in my mind. And the best picture that I could get of it is we have dogs at home. And sometimes we have to put our dogs on a chain. Y'all ever have to do that? Yeah, if you ever come to my house and a giant German shepherd comes running at you, don't worry about it at all. That dog will lick you to death, okay? He is the most. But if you see a little bitty, scrawny, yellow dog come running at you, you get back in your car and you lock the door, okay? That's Honey. Yeah, great name, right? Honey. And Honey is just super protective. And so what we have to do with Honey when we have guests coming is we have to chain her up. And that chain, have y'all seen those kind of corkscrew things you use to screw into the ground and you put the chain on it? And it's an interesting thing, right? This corkscrew digs into the ground and it anchors the dog. And then you give that dog some lead so it feels like it has some freedom. You know, it's not in a cage. You know, it isn't where it can't move around. It feels like it's got some freedom. But as soon as it hits the end of that lead, pop, you know, it stops because it's anchored to the ground. And no matter how much Honey pushes and shoves. Yeah, usually what happens with honey is she'll push and shove so much that she starts going in a circle. And when you come back, there's an entire circle all the way around that center point because she feels like she's got freedom. She feels like she can go, 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 but something is anchoring her into the ground. And can I tell you, that's what our past can be like sometimes. Our past can be this anchor. And we have just enough lead from that anchor that we feel like, oh, well, you know, I can function, I can move, I can, you know, I'm not closed in. But when we look back, that anchor is stuck in the ground and we're connected to it. And no matter how much we want to go forward, we end up just kind of going in a circle again and again and again. Because of past events in our life. And so today, after experiencing that last week, and really this is where I was going anyway, we've been talking about things that we chase in life. We chase fame, we chase money. But I want to throw out there to you this morning that so many Christians chase the appearance of perfection. The appearance of perfection. Now, I'm not saying they chase perfection. Some of you are perfectionists. I'm married to one. You know, I get that. That's a different thing. What I'm saying today is so many of us as Christians, we want to chase this idea of everything is just fine. I don't have an anchor back there. Look, I can still move around. I'm still going. And we try to build up this wall, this look, so that when we come into church every Sunday, we can go, oh, I'm good. I'm good today. When in all actuality, there's an anchor in our past. And because we choose to chase after the appearance of perfection rather than freedom in our life, we're stuck. And until we shift that thing that we're chasing after. Am I chasing after this thought of I want everybody to think I'm okay? Or am I truly chasing after the freedom that comes through the grace of Jesus Christ? Until we switch that over, we're going to have trouble. Let me go through some things maybe to connect you with what I'm saying. There's so many things in our past that can anchor us. A past failure. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand this morning, but some people in the room today have a failure in your past. It could be a failure financially. It could be a failure morally. It could be a failure in life, in work, in your marriage. It's a failure. And when you stop and think about that failure, you just say, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to look at that. I just want to stick that aside. And don't worry, there is no chain connected to that failure in my life. I'm just fine. I'm just fine. Some of you, it may not be a failure. It might be a disappointment in your life. Maybe you've reached a certain age and you go, I thought life was going to be different. And I thought that this would happen and that would happen and this would happen. And you look back at your past and because of something that happened in your past, all those beautiful dreams you had just didn't come to pass. And so you're anchored by this past disappointment in your life. But you don't want anybody to know that. I want everybody to think I'm okay. Maybe for some of you, it's a wound. Maybe it's something that someone has done to you. And it wasn't your fault. It's not anything that you could have changed. But somewhere in your life, a person chose to take care of themselves rather than taking care of you. And put themselves ahead of you. And in that way, they might have hurt you physically, mentally, emotionally. There's a wound in your life. And if I said, hey, let's share about, you know, who we are and what, you're not going to bring that up. I want to keep that in the past. I'm just going to bury that. We're not going to talk about that. It's an anchor, right? It's something holding you back. Some of you, it might be a loss. Maybe you lost somebody. Maybe it was a lost love, maybe loved one. You know, maybe it's some traumatic loss in your life that you've worked to get past, but if you're honest, it's still there. You still think about it. It still has that chain on you. What I want to challenge you is what happens in a Christian's life when we have those chains connected to us. And we try to pretend like we're free, but we're not free. And we're bearing that stuff instead of allowing God's grace into that stuff. What happens is Satan comes in there, and in that gap between what we say we believe about God and how we practice what we believe about God, Satan sets up shop. And he starts giving us guilt, and he starts working in there to give us shame. Even if it's something that we weren't in control of, it was something that somebody did to us, that we were totally not our fault, somehow because we're pushing it down, because we're allowing it to chain us and not be able to move forward in God's grace, guilt and shame come in there. Let me make sure you know what guilt and shame are. Guilt, you know, that's a legal term, right? That means you have a responsibility for some sin that was in your life. Like I said, so many times we start misreading those past events. I should have handled that differently. I shouldn't have let that person do that to me. I should have done this. If I had done this, it must be me. And we start feeling the guilt of the past event. Shame's worse than that. Guilt is kind of a pronouncement. Shame is a process where we start saying that there is something wrong with me because of that sin in my life. It's a process of identifying with that sin. And here we are as Christians saying, man, we love God. We've got grace in our life. Let's praise and worship God. But there's these chains in our past that are connected to these things that have us locked into the ground. And Satan says, oh, all right, now then we're going to get some shame and some guilt going. So we have to build the wall, right? We have to look like we're perfect, so nobody can see behind it. I want to show you a story in the Bible of someone that handles a past event. We're in John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, we have a very familiar story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at a well. Now, more than likely, you've heard this story if you've grown up in church. If you haven't grown up in church, John chapter 4, verse 1. Let me set up the story for you. Jesus is starting his earthly ministry. He's going around and he's teaching where he can. At some point, Jesus, in his travels, comes where he decides to cross across the area called Samaria, where the Samaritans are. Now, just to give you some understanding of that, the Jewish people who Jesus is born into and the Samaritan people, they don't get along. In fact, it's the bad area of town. It is really strange for a Jewish person to go into a Samaritan-ish area, and it's really strange for a Samaritan to be okay with a Jewish person coming into their area. So there's this animosity there, and Jesus just says, I don't care. That's silly. We're going through there because I love the Jews and I love the Samaritans. And so Jesus comes through this land, and he's at this well one day, and we'll pick up the story there. It says in chapter 4, in verse number 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? For his disciples had gone into town to buy food. So here's Jesus, not only by a Samaritan well, which is really outside of the culture at that point for a Jewish person, but he's talking to a woman, which once again is something really anti-cultural at that time. And so Jesus is just going, forget the culture. There's a reason I'm at this well today. And I'm not going to go by cultural norms. I'm going to go by truth instead. It says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? For his disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, here's Jesus just kind of throwing something out there. He was going, okay. He said, I'm here. I'm at a well. He said, here's the woman. And Jesus, he knew all about this lady. And he said, I'm just going to, you know, set the hook and roll her in. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? He said, Jacob gave us this well, and it's been pretty good for livestock, and it's pretty big. But where's the living water? Can you make a well better than that? Now I want to go ahead and point out that this lady's at the well by herself, which is strange. There were certain times of day in the cool of day when you would go to the well to get water. She's chosen another time of the day to go to get the water. We're going to find out in just a minute why she chose another time of the day. Verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So he's moving it from a physical need to a spiritual need. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Okay, so we're at a really good point in the story. Jesus has taken a physical thing, drinking water, and the needs that water provides for us, and he's moved it into a spiritual realm of this water that'll give you eternal life, that'll keep on moving. Wouldn't it be a good time for Jesus to say, I'm the Messiah? Wouldn't it be a good time for Jesus to say, here's how you can have that? But I want you to watch what Jesus does. He said, he told her, go and call your husband and come back. Verse 17, I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus said, I want to share living water with you. But before we go there, you've got a chain on you. You've got something in your past. I want to make sure that you understand that I know. And I want you to understand it's holding you back right now. I'm sure the lady went, how did he know? You know, he not only knows that I've had five husbands, but he knows the guy I'm living right now with right now. The guy is not, I'm living in sin. How did he know that? He just revealed the thing that I try to cover up with my wall of perfection. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Watch her change the subject real quick, right? We kind of like to do that. When Jesus starts saying, hey, can I dig into your past a little bit? Can we talk about the anchors that are trying to keep you from going forward? So many times we say, oh, let's talk church talk. She said, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. In verse 21, he said, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Watch this. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. And then if we jump to the end of the chapter, let me show you what happens at the end. Verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. That story is about a woman that had at least five anchors in her past, right? Five relationships that somehow or another didn't go right in her life. And she was now on a sixth relationship, and she wasn't married. She was just living in sin with this man. And Jesus, somehow or another, with a lady that had five strikes against her, said, let me show you how to have freedom from that. Here's the challenge, church. The challenge for you today is to say, do you want freedom from those past things in your life? Do you want to be able to move forward with freedom in your Christian life? Or would you rather stay chained to those past events and just keep doing your circle of Christianity and going, I don't understand why there's no power here? If you'd like to start doing that, let me tell you up front, there's not a pamphlet. There's not some class that you take. I tell you, this retreat I did this last week, it's an intensive. It's where we intensively say, would you be willing to open up those past wounds and let us give you a perspective of what the grace of Jesus Christ looks like on things that Satan has told you need to have guilt and shame about. There's intensive, but as soon as they walked out of there on Wednesday night, I guarantee Satan started whispering in their ears again. And there is a continual process that we must do if we want to be free. I want to kind of walk you through some of the things we see the lady did here at the well. If you'd like to be free of that past hurt and that pain, the first thing that I want to challenge you to do is you must have an encounter with Jesus Christ. That lady was not going to be able to break those chains holding her back if she did not meet Jesus Christ at the well that day. I'll tell you this, it wasn't her plan to meet Jesus there. Jesus was ready, but she could have walked away. She could have said, no, I don't want to dive in deeper. You know, as soon as he said, you have five husbands, she said, oh, that's it, I'm out of here. But she was willing to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Listen, if you'd like to break old chains in your life, the very first thing you have to do is say, I want to encounter, I want to have a life of encountering Jesus Christ. I just wrote down two things here. Two things that is how we connect deeply with Jesus Christ. The first is prayer. Let me make sure. We've been talking about this for a year now here. Prayer is not just having a laundry list of what you want God to do for you. That is not prayer. In fact, it's silliness, right? God already knows what you need. Listen, when we prayed for Janice Glick this morning, God didn't go, oh, I didn't know about that. God was already there. God is already circling her. God is aware of those things. And as we pray, we're not saying, God, here's your list of things to do. We're just saying, God, this is somewhere where I hurt, and I just want to share it with you and understand that by sharing it, that I'm connecting with you in a way. Listen, you got to connect deeply with Jesus Christ. It doesn't need to be just, hey, God, here's what I need. If you want to break these chains, you've got to have a system of connecting with God. I just wrote this down. Prayer is leaning into God. Leaning into God. Saying, in this part of my life, I'm going to find some way that I can continuously lean into you. When we lean into God, one of the questions we got to ask is, who is God? Right? And in that leaning in, God starts revealing who he is. Take time in your prayer life to say, God, who do you say you are? Worship him in a way where when you find out God is a provider, keep that in front of, as you're praying. God, you're a provider, you're a provider, you're a provider. God, you're in control, you're steadfast. Find those things about God and say, to encounter God, to encounter Jesus, I'm going to lean in and find out who God is. Not only do you find out who God is, you need to find out who God says you are. Look in the scriptures and find out how God views you. Like I said, so often we start getting guilt and shame, but God says, you're my child. God says, you were worthy enough that I would die on the cross just for you. God said, I sent my son for you. God said, therefore, you're a victor. You live in victory, not as a victim. And you go, but I don't feel like that. We know about feelings, right? They come and go. Truth is what I'm talking about. When we lean into God on a consistent pattern, prayer, then we're starting to find out who we are. And finally, we start knowing because of who God is and who we are that what God says is truth. What God says is truth. As we start meditating on God's word, as we start praying, as we start leaning into God, we start understanding that what God says is truth. Listen, the first thing is, if we want to have an encounter with God, we need to have prayer in our life. The second thing, let me throw this word out to you, fasting. Fasting. Now, fasting can mean doing without food. Let me give you a broader definition of fasting, because we know there is a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, this issue, it can only be taken care of with prayer and fasting. And so many times we go, fasting, okay, I'll skip a meal, I'll do something else. Let me kind of give you a broader definition. Prayer is leaning into God. Fasting is leaning away from the world. Leaning away from the world. You can fast from food because the world tells you you got to eat. And you might say, hey, I'm just going to lean away from that. You can fast from media because, it's telling you what to do and what not to do and what to think of yourself, right? You can lean away from so many things in the world. You can fast. Why do you need to do that? Because the exact thing I was just saying, when we are in the world says who God is. Why are you trying to say God is the one to be praying about? We need to be trusting this or this or this or this. That's what the world says. So as I lean away from the world, I'm shutting up all those voices that's trying to tell me who God is. And I can hear now who God says he is. The world is trying to tell you who you are. You are, the more we get those images from Facebook and from Instagram, we start trying to get this image of who we are. And the truth is, that is not who we are. God is saying who we are. But as we lean into the world, we start going, yeah, that's who I am. Fasting says lean away from it for a little while. When we lean into the world says what truth is. And there's so many times when you start thinking, why do I believe what I believe? If you just dig down to it, it's because the world told you that. And you're believing the truth of the world. So how about have a consistent lifestyle where you say, I'm going to just take some time. Maybe it's a short amount of time. During this hour, I'm going to turn off my phone. I'm going to turn off the messages. I'm going to turn off the social media. I'm just going to lean into God and lean away purposely from the world. And maybe it's a little bit longer. Maybe you should say, I'm going to do a retreat. And during that retreat, I'm going to turn off the TV and I'm not going to pay attention to what's happening in Afghanistan for just a little while. I'm not going to pay attention to what's happening. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying it's a lot of loud voices yelling at you. And if you want to hear God with all the world yelling at you, you're not going to hear him very good. What if you could just turn him off just for a little while? Focus in on who God is, who God says you are, and what truth is. It could change the way you see things. So that's the two things I challenge you to. Connect with Jesus. How do you do that? Through prayer, leaning into God, and through fasting, leaning away from the world for a little times. Number two, I want to show you what happens. That as soon as she encounters Jesus, the very next thing Jesus does is he brings up her past. He just does. You know, it's like I said, he didn't jump into, I'm Messiah, let's go. He said, you need to deal with your past. You need to deal with those things that are dug in. Listen, so many times we want the church to say, hey, just ignore your past. Just forget that that stuff happened, and let's just keep moving forward. And you say, great, and you take about two steps, and that chain jerks you back. Here's what Jesus was saying. He was going, until you're willing to open that up, stop being fake with me, and say, there are issues in my past. Well, good, now we can go and deal with those. But the more we cover up, the more we hide, the more we think, I want to pretend like that did not happen to me. Let me challenge you. As a Christian, you not only have to admit that you have a past, you have to embrace it. That is part of who you are, whether you like it or not. Now, I'm not saying that you have to like what happened to you in the past. I'm not saying that you have to say, oh, you know, I'm glad that happened to me in the past. What I am saying is that you have to say, that did happen to me. And I'm willing to be open to allow the grace of God to come in there, to go back and relook at it and say, when that happened, was Jesus there with me? Did Jesus, if it was something I did, am I willing to go back and look at that past anchor in my life and go that when I did that thing that has totally messed up the rest of my life, that Jesus Christ was standing there, and because of the exchange I had with him, my unrighteousness for his righteousness, he was able to, in the worst moment of my character, to say, I love Blake. And he messed up, and it's a sin, and I wish he hadn't done that, but in the middle of it, I died for that so that I can love him. Are we willing to go back and look at our past hurts and see how maybe an 8-year-old kid might not have been able to process that, but how a 50-year-old man who has a walk with Jesus Christ can now go back and look at that a little bit? Jesus could have said, it's just me, but instead, he said, you really got to get that chain off first. I did this with Honey one time. We were going to be gone for an afternoon, and I knew we were going to have some workmen there. And so I put the little screw thing in, right? And I said, there, now you're going to be on this chain for the rest of the day because I'm not going to be here. And I thought, oh, this hot sun might get to her. So I took her little doghouse, and I put it right there by the place that I had screwed in the chain, and I put some water in her little doghouse. And I'm going, now she can go in and out of that doghouse, and she'll be fine. When I came back that afternoon, you know what I found? I found her wrapped around that doghouse with about this much room to move at all. Isn't it interesting? If we don't deal with the sin, we get entangled by it. You kind of say, Blake, I put that in my past and I don't want to talk about it, except the fact I think about it every day. Except the fact that I don't trust people because of it in my life. Except for the fact that I'm not free to really accept God's grace. But other than that, it is completely closed off. Don't talk to me about it. And what Jesus sees in this lady, and what Jesus sees in us, if we're not willing to go back and say, I'm going to apply God's grace to that point in my life, we become wrapped up and entangled in our past. The third thing that we see happens here is that Jesus brings her to the cross. He said, you used to worship over there. We used to worship over here. But there is a time coming and a time that is now when you're going to worship in spirit and truth. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross and we experienced the truth of the story that God had been telling from the very beginning to the very end, that he was going to send his son to die for us. When we experience where Jesus said, I am now going up to the Father, and it's a good thing because I'm going to send my spirit back down, then suddenly we're in a new place where we can worship in truth and in the spirit that's come alive in us. He brought her straight to the cross. That's what you've got to do. You've got to take your burdens of the past that have you anchored down, and you've got to deep dive into what the cross means to you. What does the cross mean? at the cross. The only way I can explain it is if anybody in here is like me and you've got a past issue that you don't really tell that many people about. And from time to time, that thing floats to the surface with the shame and the guilt. And just that burden that you have and that heaviness and that thought of, what if I didn't do that? And how could I have done that? Or how could this have happened? If you've got that feeling, I want you to take that feeling and multiply it by about a billion and place that all on Jesus' shoulders. Because that's what he took at the cross. He took what you carry every day because you won't let go of it. He took it all. And he hung it on that cross. Paid the price for it. And so that anchor, that's an anchor you've put in the ground. God didn't put that in the ground. Jesus said, I want to give you life and give it more abundantly. And you go, no, I've got something I did that I'm... And we've got to concentrate on the cross. He brought her straight. Here's what's going to happen. Have you taken that thing in the past and said, I'm going to apply the cross to it? Listen, maybe it's something somebody did to you, and it's hard, but you've got to apply the cross to that too. God took that. It was evil of that person. They shouldn't have done it. It was selfish, but you can let go of it because Jesus paid the price for it, and you don't have to be the one making them pay the price anymore. And you don't have to pay the price for their sin either. Jesus did that. You have to have an encounter with Jesus. You have to be willing to open up those past things, and you've got to consider deeply what happened on the cross. And here's the joyful thing. It says in verse 26, then Jesus declared, I, the one you are speaking to, I am he. Isn't that a beautiful moment? She's at the well. She's kind of going, this guy knows about my past. He's a prophet at least. And he's sharing some really big truths. In that moment when she says, hey, yeah, I'm looking for the Messiah too. And all of a sudden, it's like Jesus just opens completely up to her and said, that's me. I'm here. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to just say, okay, we got that chain off now. Here I am. You know what happens then? There's hope. Right? Jesus says, here, let me take you by the hand. Let's take a step. I can't go any further, God. This is where I'm stuck. He said, oh no, you just handled the past. Now you can walk. And you start walking and you start seeing that God has a plan for you and a plan for what happened in the past to you and a plan how to help other people. We'll get to that in just a second. Here's the most beautiful thing. Way up there ahead is a place called heaven, right? Eternity. And I just... You know, as I think about the last 2 weeks, I've had a friend from college walk into eternity. I had a friend at my first church where I served as a youth pastor walk into eternity. Leon Overby walked into eternity just a few weeks ago. And here's what I know. When they walked into eternity, there was no more noise from the world to deceive them. A complete fast from the lies that we hear every day. Here that keep us from hearing God. They've got the complete and total truth now. And their spirit, which right now our spirit fights against our mind and our flesh to live out this in this world, their spirit suddenly comes to the forefront. And in heaven, they are worshiping in truth and in spirit. And here's what God says. As Jesus takes you by the hand and says, let's walk now. He said, I'm going to teach you as we're walking to slowly change your life to where here on earth you're going to start experiencing this worshiping God in truth and in spirit. And we're going to show you how those chains that once held you back are actually going to be tools that you can use. And you're going to suddenly find out that I have a plan for you and I am trustworthy and you're going to know me more and you're going to move ahead more and you're going to have a hope that you're pointed at. Guys, that's what the Christian life is. That's the walk we're looking for. But there's chains holding us back. When she released the chains, she went and shared her testimony. I got a phrase here that sometimes we just kind of think is a silly phrase. Have you ever heard anybody say, the best is yet to come. Sometimes when we're chained to our past, when we're sorry about the things we didn't accomplish in the past, when we're hurt by all the losses that we've had, the disappointments, the failures, we hear that phrase and we laugh. No, the best is behind me and I missed it. Here's what I tell you, as a Christian, that is a true statement. The best is yet to come. As a Christian, as we remove those chains, we know that as we walk forward with God, we're moving to the hope that Christ has laid out for us. The best is yet to come. When she got up, she said, I had these chains, but because of her testimony, he told me everything I ever did. She said, he told me about every chain that was holding me back. He told me about everything I've been trying to hide from you people by going to the well at different times so that you can't see the sin that I'm living in. He told me about everything. And as soon as she shared that testimony, instead of it being something that crushed her and held her back, everybody in town said, I want to hear about that. Because I've got chains holding me back too. Will you be the first one? The first one to start breaking off those chains? Telling other people about it so they can break off their chains? It's hard. It's not a pamphlet. But it's a lifestyle of trusting and loving Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you this morning that you are in control. God, that you're a good God, that you love us. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to be a chain breaker in this church. God, that you would help us to see what's holding us back. God, help us to be a family that we can start breaking our own chains and then helping other people break theirs. Father, that we can take that message out into our community and through our testimony, through sharing with others, this is what Jesus did in my life. That they could be like those people in that Samaritan village that said, we want that. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, I'll be down front if you need prayer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and said, I've got chains I want broken, but I don't even know how to do it, I'd love to tell you about how to ask Jesus into your life. I'll be down here as Chris plays.